Okay, here goes. We are in Kuf Chaf. The Sandik and the Moyo and the Aviyah ben Amutarim lehistaper b'yoyim shelifnei hamila samach le'erev kaidim halicha lebeis. So if you know anyone that's making a bris during Svira, they are allowed to, the three people involved, the Moyo, the Sandik, and the Aviyah ben, could all get haircuts right before like sundown of the night before the bris. Lasa shiduchim. So this comes up that people want to get engaged. Is there any issue with getting engaged during Svira?
I don't think so.
No.
Doesn't mean anything.
There is no problem, and we encourage people to get engaged. The halacha is brought down that you might want to propose and so that no one else takes her, because if you don't get her, maybe someone else will decide to propose to her. I actually had a friend. I have a friend that he told me his Shmuley, maybe I told you this when you were in yeshiva. His grandma was good friends with some guy in the neighborhood for many years, and then like I don't know, he got stuck, she got stuck, whatever it was. But they were going out, and she was pretty much just waiting for him to like ask her out, and he never did because he was like too shy or something. And some other guy was going out with her, and the first guy realized like she's gonna get engaged to this guy, so he went over to her and asked her, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "Yeah, sure. I've been waiting for you."
Watch these one out.
Like I think it was either right before or even after she got engaged to the other guy or something. And he realized, like, I mean, you know, I'm loy achshavei masai, that I gotta, you know. So it's brought down halacha that if you're gonna wait till the end of Svira, someone else might get her. So therefore, you should propose. This is brought down in the 3 weeks, and therefore there is no problem. Ach rikudim to dance with circles and things like that, that's aser. But to have a vart, that's or l'chaim today. I don't know. I heard the vart's banned again. Is that true? They're trying to cut down. I know it's a big campaign today to cut down on the.
Oh, to cut down, not to cancel art in general.
Right. So yeah, hopefully some good will come out of this whole corona. And Noyagin Shalalasis we're Noyag that men and women do not do Malacha, call you Sachama. From Shkia until after the Omer, we don't say we don't do Malacha. Sheva Shavus. It's a lotion of resting. Shabbos is a lotion of rest. And Shabbazana. So based on that, we're saying that at the time that a person is supposed to be counting Sfira, which is after Shkia already, it's becoming nightfall until you actually count, is it in you not to do Melacha? I don't think Melacha means switching on a light like on Shabbos. It means Melacha of like real heavy work that's distracting. I don't know if people are knowing this, but it's not so Nagaya today. I don't think we're involved in crazy work late at night. If you're a mechanic, maybe something like that. But Shmuley, you work after nightfall ever?
No.
Really?
Oh, actually, no, it depends. I'm saying, what, just at night in general, at night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so many things come up and I do work. And then I get.
Finishing a job or something.
Yeah. Or
Right.
clients not available during the day, they're working during the day and anything at night, then I could do it at night.
Over here, I'm saying some places they probably do it, but you also like they're doing road construction and things like that. They daf could do it by night when there's less traffic and things like that.
Right.
So, if a person has some sort of line like that and there's an inyan, we're saying that a person should try not to do any work during dafka that time until you count svira. Okay, I think there's something which is like kind of missed in the whole svira thing, which is. People think of it like, you know, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died, and it's like this very sad time, and like everyone's just bugging out because we can't shave. And okay, by the 3 weeks, we understand there's a churban. There was a churban bais. And here it's like, oh, so they were like, Lainayagim covers Delazaz, so it's our problem. Like, why do we have to suffer, you know? And like, you know, I want to listen to music. Why is it my fault? And I think as, you know, as I've got older and I don't know if I heard this directly from any great Rav, I think I did hear along these lines, which is that it's not that Sfira is a sad time. And also you think about it, you're keeping first half? You guys are keeping first half? You're keeping second half?
No, first half, yeah.
First half, right?
Yeah.
So the first half, what I like also is like, after you get to Lag BaOmer, now there's something else happening because we're not keeping Sfira anymore, but we're still in Sfira. Aaron Solomon, what is up? Okay, good. We have to schmooze after. Give me a second. So it's a gematria of Toiv, by the way, the last 17 days, right? You got that one? So there's something good about this, which is that, you know, we're over that mourning period or that sad period. Now you can listen to music and we're still in Sfira, which means we're still getting ready for Matan Torah. And that's really what I've heard from my Rebbeim is that the sense that we're supposed to have during Sfira is some sort of like solemnness, Solomon. It's somber, I think the word is. Like just, you're not supposed to be like joking and like very excited about like other things besides Fatira. And the point is that we realize that Dafka during this time, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim passed away. That means that this is specifically a time that a person should be working on himself. And therefore, if they passed away during this time, it means they weren't and that was held against them. So it's a time we're supposed to be working on ourselves. And if we're busy partying and enjoying the geshmaka weather outside and going to the beach and all those kind of things, so then we wouldn't really be getting ready for Matan Torah. So the point is that, you know, you got to have a life. And people are always scared, you know, if I starken out, so I'm going to be like a weirdo yeshivish guy and I'm, you know, I'm not going to have a life. No, you could have a life. And when a person connects to Torah and then they have a more uplifted life and a more meaningful life, but at the same time, everything's in a balance. You party at the right time, you eat and drink at the right time, you sleep at the right time, and everything has to be in its right place. And that's, I think, more of the lesson of Sfira than anything else. And this is a time to be more serious. It's a more serious time. But yeah, I don't think we should just think like, oh, dying, dead. Like, if I'm not, you know, getting ready for Matan Torah, I'm going to die. Like, no, that's, it's more of a sense of seriousness, I think. Okay, I just wanted to finish up the story with Rabbi Akiva. Can we do that for like 2 minutes? Okay, Aaron, before you came, we were discussing the sugyas in Ksuvis on Samach Beis and Samach Gimel, which is all the great Tanayim that went and steig for like 12 years.
Wow.
So we explained really 6 and 6, there's Bekias and Be'ian, and you could join us. I'm so happy you're here. So
pleasure.
Here we go. So we said that Rabbi Akiva went, and he was going to go for 12 years, and Kalba Sevua, Rachel's father, basically disinherited her. And then he was on his way and he had 12,000 Talmidim walking with him. And he heard that there was this Husava, the Ka'amarla Ad Kamal, how long are you going to stay like this, like an Almona Chayim? And she said, if it's up to me, Tzayis, Yasiv, Trey, Sri, Shni, Achrini, I would tell him to stay for another 12 years. So I saw also in the Mefarshim that they say that this Husava, it's called an elderly man, is referring to Eliyahu HaNavi. Yet there is also another, there's obviously Rav Nassim that says that it was a Rasha who was like degrading her. Like, what kind of life do you have? Like, you know, your husband, he just ditches you like that. And she replied, you know, I would be happy for him to stay for another 12 years. So the Ben Yehuda explains that really what happened was both of them are true. That first Eliyahu HaNavi came, and he said to her, in order that Rabbi Akiva should hear and Rabbi Akiva should go back, And then this Russia also was there, and he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, I'd be very happy. And it was all min hashamayim that Rabbi Akiva should hear it twice. Because if he heard it once, maybe his wife's just being froman, you know, like she's talking like that. But if she repeated herself, so now he knew, people say like, he didn't even go in, he didn't say hello to her, you know. And everyone knows the verse from Chaim Shmulevitz that 12 and 12 doesn't equal 24. But how was he so sure? Maybe she would be happy to see her. You know, maybe you'd give her some chizik. But when he heard it twice, the Ben Yoyada says, so he knew that this is really what she wants. And therefore he went back. And he shtayt for another 12 years. And he grew, and the yeshiva grew. It doubled in size. And Kiyasa Aisi Bahadeh, when he was coming back the second time, so he had 24,000 talmidim. Shama de Besayu, his wife heard that he was coming. Have kanafka la'afe, she went out to greet him. Her neighbor said to him, her neighbor said to her, she'ili mani levush, why don't you borrow some clothing? Again, Rabbi Kiva, we said they had no money almost. And she obviously, whatever clothing she had was like, you know, the Yerushalmi house coats. And so they said, why don't you, you know, get something nice to go out to greet your husband? And she answered, tzaddik knows the soul of his behema. A little bit of an intense lashon. But again, she was saying that this is not about beauty. My husband knows exactly what I've been through, and I don't have to like start like dressing up for him. And she went out, kimata lagave nafla al apa. She fell on her face, kamanashka le lechare. She was kissing his feet. Have kamedachvi losh shame. And his talmidim were trying to push her away. Like, who is this woman? Amar lahu shavkua, leave her. Shaliva shalachem shalahu. Famous, great words of Rabbi Kiva that he said, leave her alone, that these all are all my schosim and all your schosim. It's all her schos. Now, yeah, Yanki, what's up? Was that a mistake? It's a
mistake, nothing, sorry.
Okay. I didn't think that you raise your hand when you want to be called on. What'd you call it? Okay, so I just wanted to end the last part. This is the Gevaldika part of the Maisa. Shama Avua Da'asa Gavra Rabba Lamasa. Kalva Savua, her father heard that a great man has come to the town. He did not know who Rabbi Kiva was, Bechlal. And he wanted to go. He felt bad. He's missed Rachel for 24 years now. He kicked her out of the house, and he started feeling bad about it. And so he heard a great man's coming, so he went to him. So Rabbi Kiva said to him, tell me. He said, I have a daughter, and I disowned her. She got married to this guy, the shepherd. And he said, tell me, did you have in mind that even if you would be a great man, that you would still disown her? And he said, shocking words, Amar le afilu perek echad, afilu halacha achas. Even if he would know one perek in Mishnayos or one halacha, I would have been happy to take him as a son-in-law. Which means you see what Am Aretz Rabbi Kiva was at the beginning, right? And Amar le anahu, Rabbi Kiva said, I am that man. Nafal ape v'nashke al kare. And he fell on his face and kissed him on the feet, the same thing as Rachel. Interesting. V'yahiv lei palga mamayne. And he gave half of all his wealth to Rabbi Kiva. We mentioned last time around that Rabbi Kiva promised her when he was taking straw out of her hair every morning, they were sleeping on straw, that one day if I could afford it, I'm going to give you a Yushalayim Shalzov, like this fancy like golden crown, this tiara made out of gold. With the design of Yerushalayim, and after he inherited half, he got as a present, half of his father-in-law's wealth, so he was able to buy it for her. Now, Taisa says, very interesting kash over here, we'll end with this. Taisa says, v'im taim avalei asur liftayach b'naylad. There's a halacha when it comes to making a darm. A person makes a neder, so you could always say, you know, I didn't mean this. So you go to a rav, and a person's able to get a heter, get a pesach, it's called. To get an opening that if the Rav's able to say, you know, did you really mean this situation or this situation? And he says, no, Chas V'Shalom, I would have never said if I would have known this. So then he's able to get out. So the halacha is that that's only when it's a fact. When it's something that's noilad, which means it only occurred later on. Something else happened that changed things around that wasn't there. So then that's not, you can't use that as an opening to get out of a nether. So Tosfos asked that over here, Rabbi Akiva was an Am Haaretz. So how could he say, oh, well, had you known he would be a great person, but he wasn't a great person. So Tosfos says a big line, which I've heard from a couple of mashkichim. They've asked the kash on this. Tosfos says like this, Yesh lama dahachalei chashiv noilad. It's not called noilad. Kivin shahalach lebei rav. Since he had in mind, he was on his way to yeshiva. He had already told Rachel that she said, if I marry you, will you go to yeshiva? And he said, yes. He made a commitment to go to yeshiva. Hoylech lilmoid. The derech is that someone who's hoylech lilmoid shenase adam gadol. A person goes to yeshiva, he's going to become a great man. And a lot of the Bali Musa ask, we know many people who went to yeshiva that didn't become great men. So what does that mean, Tosfos? Tosfos has another teretz, which is that his da'as was that if he would have known that he was even, you know, going to become something, it was al tnai that this shepherd would never be anyone. But in this first teretz, Tosfos is telling us a big, big yesod, which is that when a person decides that he wants to go to yeshiva to steig, a person wants to grow, it is pretty much guaranteed he will grow. There are many people that go to yeshiva for many other reasons. Peer pressure, parents pressure, you ask people, they're not even sure why they're in yeshiva, and that's why tomorrow when Zoom starts, they won't be there. But, and okay, I just had to drop that. But Lamaisa, the point is that anyone who wants to really steig and goes to yeshiva with that in mind, as long as it's a normal yeshiva, he will be given the tools and amidst Hashem, he's going to come out being a great person. And therefore, this is not something that wasn't in the making. The moment that he committed to Rachel, he was already considered someone who's going to be great. And I give us all a bracha. We're still b'nei yeshiva, even Shmuley. You're still a ben Torah. You wear a white shirt. And you're part of us. And amidst Hashem, if we're not great yet, we should become great. And we should continue to steig together, and we should always give Hashem nachas.